B-Pod Studios.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Scientology is a religion that contains tools and methods to assist you in finding your own answers to life's questions.
The TB12 method is more than a new way to think. It's better living.
Let me ask you this.
Ask yourself,
who are you?
What if a month from today you felt better doing everything you love to do?
Your body is something that you have. Your body is something you use.
To ensure your body is working for you day and night, use TB12 functional apparel and sleepwear.
So if you're not your body,
ask yourself,
what are you? Your mind? Well, first, what is the mind?
Our brains are our control centers.
Your mind is something you use to figure things out.
Practice plasticity-based brain exercises to keep your brain in optimal condition.
In Scientology, we use the word thetan.
At TB12, we use the word supplement.
The term thetan is taken from the Greek letter theta, which has long served as a symbol for thought or spirit.
Try to avoid self-inflammation, whether it's in your mind, body, or spirit.
You have a body, you have a mind, you are a thetan.
The answer is in your hands.
Scientology offers tools you can use to increase your abilities and reach your full potential in life.
I practice and live the TB12 method in my job and in my life.
For the subject of Scientology is you.
I wish you the best of luck on your journey as you become the very best version of yourself.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, Tom Brady and a Scientology guy. And then after Tom Brady talks on that audiobook, it becomes the Scientology guy that starts talking in Brady's book. He's August 1st. There's a new TB12 method, a place going up in Back Bay. And this is Guerrero, who has come out with the concussion juice. And I like in that clip that it said brain elasticity training, which has been debunked. And if you notice that when they used to have the commercials for the brain games that said that they would keep you more intelligent, now they no longer exist because it has been proven that does not work. All right. So Ted Johnson, obviously, on the Patriots for many years. Okay, so first of all, what is your feelings on this TB12 method?
Yeah, I don't know enough about it, Fred. To really have a strong opinion on it. My concern with what Tom says and some of the claims that he makes is that it's not backed or validated by other doctors,
right?
Scientists or therapists or you know, medical professionals. So that makes me nervous.
Do you think, because Gronkowski obviously lost a lot of weight in the offseason last year, and he was doing like all those pliability exercises. At least it didn't seem like he was lifting as much weight. I know that there was some issues with the training staff.
But Belichick. That's nothing new. Pliability stuff is not like this new thing that, Tom discovered.
No. But I think working, limiting the amount of actual weightlifting you do maybe is. So
Not smart, quite honestly, for a football player.
Okay, so do you think that what Gronkowski doing that and losing that weight, because you thought he lost weight too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He looked a lot different.
Yeah.
Do you think that hurt him ultimately?
I don't think it was. I don't think it was the best way to go about it. Football, you have to you have to put muscle on. Like your armor is your muscle, and to withstand the hits and the physicality that he has to withstand, you have to build up your armor. Like you have to be flexible. You have to be able to. Have a body that can contort, because your body gets twisted and contorted in ways on a football field that it's just not meant to do. So you got to be able to kind of, get bent in ways and be able to bounce back without, having too much damage. And that's basically having being flexible and being having, kind of your body's not tight, but you also have to do the lifting. Right. You also have to be strong. You have to build your armor and to withstand the punishment that you take on an NFL football field. So you have to do both is my point. You can't just do one without the other.
Did you trust the training staff when you were with the Patriots?
Yeah. For the most part, yeah. I think they had their best interest in mind. I think their techniques and their methods and their workouts were exactly what I needed. So I didn't have a problem with. And that is, you talk about, you want to see a coaching staff or a training staff or a strength conditioning staff be paranoid and skeptical and turn into big a-holes. Tell them you have an alternative way of doing things.
Right.
Tell them that, your guy wants you to do this. Those guys, nothing upsets them more than to challenge what they're doing. So they're right all the time. And so I think that's not always maybe the case. Sometimes you have somebody that you meet that has a way of doing things that maybe you see as there's beneficial. So when you undermine the training staff, or the strength and conditioning staff with using other people, that nothing gets them more butthurt than doing that. So that's a tricky dynamic right there. And here's the thing. If you've been doing something that's been working for a long time and then you change it up and then all of a sudden the injuries come, then that's where the skepticism comes right there.
Right.
It's followed.
All right, what'd you do yesterday at the gym?
Okay, so yesterday was my push day, Freddie. So push day, I did my 32 minutes of cardio, right? So I did 20 minutes on the elliptical, went and did 12 minutes on the stair climber. So I'm good and lathered up. Then I did so my push day was chest and quads. So I did, and I superset everything. So I do three exercises in a row, three sets of that. So I'll go from bench to lunges to core.
So you just tell people, get the hell out of the way, get off.
They know.
Yeah, they're just saying, you're saying, hey, all of this is off limits.
They know.
They know.
Ted Johnson's in the house. Everyone back away from the equipment.
Yeah. I'm 6'4", 245. Yeah, back the hell up.
Yeah, they know. So they know. It's a huge gym I work at, so there's plenty of room. But I'm very accommodating. I'm not the a-hole that's like, hey, I'm using that. Don't use it.
That's me. I stake my ground at the gym. I put police tape around everything.
Sure.
I said, you can tell that I'm doing high intensity interval training, my friend.
Hey, you can always get started, Freddie.
So it's push training. I go to a trainer, but it's in reverse. All right, so it's push training. So this is where you're maxing out.
I don't max out very much anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, no need for that at my age. I don't need to be competitive. Like, I'll get in my so I do CrossFit twice a week.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, take down your number. Hey, write down your time. I'm like, you guys do that. I don't need to do that. So you won't see me bench press max. I'll do max reps.
What if there are like chicks in the gym?
Then I'll throw on some heavier weight.
Right. You're like, hey, ladies.
Yo, check me out.
Yeah.
Well, what are you up to on those days?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked, Sean. I probably at this point, I can do 275. I'll rep that out at my max reps are probably 12 to 13 reps.
13 reps at 275.
What does that equate to for a one max rep?
Yeah.
Probably about 330 is my guess.
He's 45 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
I could spot you.
Oh, my God.
And that's okay, bud.
And then and drop it on you very easily.
Do
you do squats?
I do lunges now, Freddie. I will not squat. I don't need to for the back. Lunges are better. And so I'll do walking lunges. I do one-legged lunges. I will do single-leg squats on the Smith's machine. So nothing that's going to put a ton of pressure on my back. You want to do stuff that's low impact if you can.
Deadlifts?
I do that in my CrossFit. I got to be very careful. That's where you can really get hurt because people have really bad technique with deadlifts.
Baby.
Oh, you got.
What's the thing that you stand in the middle of? And you got the handles.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know what that bar is called.
Of course you don't, because you're not in there. You're not in there getting in the evolution.
Ted, you could always get better. But always get better in the workout. You got to listen to this.
I'm listening to Fred right now.
I think you should.
I'm writing notes. But Fred, that's a great little exercise, the deadlifts, because it kind of just It's easier on the back, if you will. So as opposed to just doing a straight bar. So that's good. It's good. If you're going to do deadlifts, do it with that bar. It's a good call.
Deadlifts, squats, and bench, and then I'm just like, I'm just putting on mass right now.
Sure.
Just I'm getting, it's just mass, and then we're going to cut it down.
Mass, and then you'll cut it down, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I put on a lot of mass, and then what I do is I won't drink water for like a couple days.
Smart.
And get super vascular.
Yeah. Yeah,
Johnson knows.
Yeah, it's dude. I'm writing this down, Fred. I didn't realize that you were going to be an inspiration for me when it comes to the working out. So I'm writing this stuff down right now.
Yeah, by someone just texted me and said hex. It's a hex bar.
Hex bar. There you go.
Okay. All right.
Hex bar.
Yeah.
So today's my pull day. So yesterday was push. Today will be pull. So back in hamstrings today, in case you were wondering.
Now, how do you work your hamstrings?
Oh, I do a lot of different things. I do what they call RDLs, Russian deadlifts, single leg with the dumbbells.
Do the sumo squats?
The sumo squats? I don't know what the sumo squats are.
Oh, Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a lot to learn,
my
friend.
I'm getting an education right now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
As I said, you can always get better. You can always learn.
Oh, look at this jabroni.
Here we are.
He doesn't even know the sumos. He's writing it down.
Squats.
He knows what time it is.
It's sumo time. Squat.
I'm going to school right now. I'm getting education right now, man.
Yeah. You get one of them kettlebells, right?
Kettlebell, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you put your...
Easy now. Don't hurt yourself.
It's technique.
He's standing up.
It's technique, Johnson.
Dad, he just stood up. That's all right. I did.
All right, Johnson. It's technique. Listen, I'm like a cat. I have several glandular problems, which is why I'm the way I am.
I'm watching Freddie. All right, kettlebell.
What you can't see is my feet are pointed in this direction. So I'm up.
Shoulder width
and
apart.
And then I'm down, baby.
Nice.
Now, what am I working?
Yeah.
You might ask.
Yeah,
it's curious. It's a whole groin situation.
It's the
inside of
pigeon-toed stance.
Your quads.
10 to 2.
That's the 10 to 2 stance.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
And that's your secret for success right there, Freddie.
You want to specialize. I mean, you want to hit every muscle in the legs.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when I'm fine tuning.
Okay,
you know, that's when I'm fine tuning.
I gotcha. Sumo squat, groin, and
chicks,
pigeon toe.
And the chicks start watching. You know, you get the ass and the thighs.
I will say this. That is the sumo squat. And now that's what a ton women will do in the gym now. I call it the Kim Kardashian effect.
Stop dismissing me. All right, Sean, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? The first time I saw Ted at the gym was like a couple weeks ago. I didn't even realize I went to the same gym as him. But I looked at him and I was like, dude, that I said to my buddy, I'm like, dude, that's got to be Ted Johnson. He looks over, he's like, holy, that is Ted Johnson. This guy, like, if you don't know football, like, you would know he's a professional football player.
Oh, I like that. I like that. But, hey, make sure you come say hi to me at the gym next time.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone go and say hi. Everyone work in. Everyone go work in with Ted Johnson. He loves it. He loves nothing more.
But you know what? That's a compliment. If you look at me and you go, that guy maybe played football. That's all. That's perfect.
You got a short sleeve shirt on, so you really are vascular. You got that happening with your forearms.
I do. I work out the same. I have the most, you know, some people I would say a little weird, quirky ways of dressing. I always wear two shirts. I wear a very compressed sleeveless shirt,
mm-hmm.
so it keeps everything in there tight, and then mm-hmm. I wear a sleeveless shirt over that. So.
No vest today. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, no, I felt like I didn't need to cover up
the anymore. The gut's okay today?
The gut feels pretty good today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wear a poncho.
Yeah. I wear sweatshirts.
No, I wear a poncho.
Right.
Not to the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then I go out and I have eat ethnic food afterwards.
Attaboy.
It's
always good to, you know, reward yourself after a good workout with ethnic food.
Right. Sometimes I wear a cape. We got everything going on. All right, Jeff Howe, he covers the Patriots over there for The Athletic, which I still do not have a subscription to. So when Ted sent me an article, I couldn't read it. But nonetheless, he's going to talk to us about free agency and how this is going to affect the Patriots.
Home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I got to hand it to Bird. It's a good idea to wait until the music bed starts before you call a guest.
By the way, Ted, I have multiple requests for you to post your workout regimen. People want to follow it.
No, you keep that secret. That's like sharing your diary with someone. I mean, this is that's like sharing something you got to copyright.
It's maybe like a magician showing you how to do his tricks, maybe.
I just think people understand that if they do the same things you do, they will look exactly the same way you look.
Maybe you could actually incorporate magic with your workouts. So you could get the iron rings and separate them and... But beforehand, to really tussle with him.
I tell you what, tweet me at Teddy J Radio, and if you got specific questions, then I love to talk about just gym stuff and working out. So it's my salvation. I love it. I go 6 days a week. It's what keeps me out of trouble. So I love talking about it with people. So tweet at me, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
All right, well, you just opened yourself up for a lot of tedium. Jeff Howe is the Patriots beat writer at TheAthletic.com. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Good. I'm teaching Ted Johnson a couple things.
Learned a lot. Sumo squats.
Trying to vary his workout a little bit, you know? He's
going
to plateau.
I just put down dumbbells myself.
Yeah, he's going to plateau pretty soon, and then he'll be cold running to the tee, as they often do. All right, Jeff Howe. First of all, how dumb was Oakland to sign Trent Brown?
That's not something I would have done, that's for sure. I thought, and I've said this for a while now, I'm not just saying this because he's out of town, I would have been wary of giving him record-setting money. And I think, honestly, we could have gone back several months now and seen a record-setting type of deal coming, or at least something that was going to at least approach what Nate Solder got a year ago. I mean, he had one terrific year, and, at times he was terrific. There were times when it was pretty streaky, especially at the beginning. And he turned that into this deal. So, look, good for him. And now he has to go out and prove that he was worth it. You know, if I were the Patriots, my concern would have been, all right, how long is Dante Scarnecchia going to be the offensive line coach? And then what happens to Trent Brown when Scarnecchia leaves? You know, maybe it's not, obviously it's not going to be next year, but maybe it's 2020 or 2021. And then, what do you have, is he simply this good because of Scarnecchia? And I don't want to take away from what he's accomplished and all that stuff, but it's all part of the consideration, especially when you're talking about record-setting money.
All right, but he's a guy who's come out publicly and said he doesn't like watching film. He doesn't seem to be the most motivated guy in the world.
I can't believe guys say that, Fred.
Well, because he's 6'9", 5 billion pounds. Yeah. He's like, what do I need with this crap? He got paid. So do you think that now that he's paid, that motivation might be a factor?
It's a concern, yeah. That's a concern with a lot of people. And that trap seems to hit you in Oakland a little harder than it hits a lot of places too. So yeah, look, this is going to be a deal that, again, that's not one I would have signed if I were Oakland. And it's, I thought the perfect scenario for the Patriots, if they had any reservations whatsoever about Isaiah Wynn coming back at full strength this year, was using the franchise tag on Trent Brown. Mm-hmm. Franchise tag was, just a tick north of $14 million for next season. And now looking at what he got, about 16.5 per year, $14 million would have been a bargain. You would have been able to keep him motivated. You would have known what you had at left tackle next season, and then allow him to, because he's still so young, he still would have been able to go out and break the bank a year from now. So I thought that would have been a great scenario by the Patriots not doing that. That tells me that's a vote of confidence in Isaiah Wynn for 2019.
Hey, Jeff, it looks like you have the Titans and Mike Vrabel beating the Patriots in the regular season this year, and it looks like they beat them out for the services of one Adam Humphries, wide receiver from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That guy had Patriots written all over him. 5'11", 190-pound white slot receiver. Yeah. That was Patriots right
so there. So the word is, Jeff, that the Patriots and the Titans were bidding for his services. He ultimately signed with the Titans, earning about $9 million a year. How close do you think the Patriots were in maybe getting Adam Humphries from Tampa Bay?
Yeah, if just from what I know, and I'm not disputing the report, but my information as of earlier yesterday was the Patriots had nothing to do with Humphreys. So maybe they jumped in late. Maybe they came in with a, you know, a late aggressive offer. But everything I heard throughout the last couple weeks was the Patriots had no interest in Humphreys whatsoever because his market was stabilizing at least $8 million annually as far back as the combine when everybody starts to have these informal meetings. So I thought that was kind of a, you know, a red flag, I guess, in the Patriots' minds. Now, look, I agreed. I thought Humphreys was a perfect type of target for them. I even wrote it at the combine that, look, they haven't shown any interest yet, but if there is a guy worth resetting their salary structure for at wide receiver, Humphreys is the type to do it, and maybe they do make a late push. I don't have the information that lines up with them getting into any sort of bidding war or anything like that yesterday. Again, you know, the Patriots operate in the shadows. So maybe they did come in late. Maybe they did make a push. But if there was an all-day bidding war, that's just not the information that I have.
Obviously, Trey Flowers got huge money from Detroit, and the Patriots are more than willing to let him go at that price tag. But the question is now, who replaces him? Obviously, the trade for Michael Bennett will help for at least 1 year, maybe two. But I keep reading about Derek Rivers and how his role will be greatly expanded next season and his sack numbers will spike. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's not going to go in the other direction. I mean,
he hardly got on the field this year.
I know, but I mean, that's right. The thing. People like, all right, who's going to take his place other than Michael Bennett? I mean, people seem to love Derek Rivers all of a sudden. Geez.
Yeah, look, he was a healthy scratch 11 times last season, including the playoffs. That was the second most on the team.
Yeah.
Right, that was the second most on the team behind Keontae Davis, who plays the same position, obviously. So it was, I think, highly of Rivers, and I thought last year there was too much of a rush to just dismiss him and call the draft pick a bust. But, you know, you just got to remember, this is a guy who came from Youngstown State, a small school, was going to need that first year to develop. Instead, that first year turned into a torn ACL. And when you tear your ACL, I mean, you just know you're not going to be at 100% your second year, especially given his circumstances. So time will tell with Rivers. I'm not writing him off whatsoever. I'm also not willing to just, you know, put myself out there and say that he's going to have a year or two the way Trey Flowers did back in 2016 off of his stint on IR as a rookie. So he's part of the equation, and I'm sure they would love for that to happen. And it's just, look, you got Dietrich Wise, Rivers, Kamalu, Keontae Davis. They're guys that at times, you know, that Bill Belichick is really liked, but Dietrich Wise's playing snap count dropped by 10% last season, which was kind of one of the strangest things that kind of flew under the radar, but one of the stranger things that happened during the 2018 season. I mentioned between Rivers and Davis, 24 healthy scratches. So you're going to need that group of young guys to really come in and do something that they've basically never done before in this system. Adrian Claiborne's on the roster, but, you know, it's pretty tempting to say that they can move on from him and save $4 million in cap space. So, yeah, you know, there are other guys. You know, you get Darius Smith, Preston Smith. There are some intriguing names out there. And I think you have to use – I mean, you can't force it, but I think you have to use that 32nd pick on an edge-type player and maybe even one more of that group of the, you know, the six in the top 101 on a defensive end and just see who kind of comes in and sticks. But, yeah, look, it's almost – you can't really match – what the Lions had put on the table for Trey Flowers. The Patriots had to know that. I mean, I've said it a million times. You judge teams by their actions in the NFL. You know that these conversations start to pick up at the combine. When the Patriots acquired Michael Bennett last week and didn't even come close or really make a hard effort to come close to the Flowers deal yesterday, I mean, the writing was on the wall. They knew that he was going to get this type of money. They knew he was a goner. And now you got to try to figure out what plan B is. The problem is when all those good pass rushers started getting the franchise tag a couple weeks ago, that really limited the field of those plan B options or even plan 1B options, I guess you could put them, because there were some good ones out there. And it also made Flowers a whole lot more valuable to other teams like the Lions.
All right. So, Jeff, we had Breer in on Friday.
and he was going over like the last Super Bowl teams and who their best receivers were. And then we asked the question, who are the indispensable players on that are not quarterbacks in the NFL? And it was a hard list to come up with. I think that we came up with Aaron Donald maybe and yeah. Khalil Mack.
Right.
Our two guys. Does any of this matter? Like with probably the Patriots?
Not. No, I mean, really.
It doesn't matter, right? They lose Trey Flowers and then something else happens and they put someone else in. As long as they have Brady, none of this matters.
Yeah, look, you're right. How many times did somebody read their eulogy in December? I mean, just December, and they went out and won the Super Bowl. Losing Nate Solder stung, and they turned a right tackle who was, kind of fallen out of – who had completely fallen out of favor in San Francisco into a guy who, was a borderline Pro Bowl left tackle in his one season in New England. This is – every time you think that, day one of free agency or day one of the tampering period is going to spell doom and gloom for the Patriots, I mean, they come back and they reinforce the middle class of their roster. They turn one of these young guys like a Derek Rivers into a budding star, or at least a budding household name. And, the story repeats itself. So, yeah, I mean, yesterday was a rough day, but aside from the Gilmore day, when have the Patriots had a legitimately great day one of free agency? I mean, I guess you go back to maybe Rodney Harrison and Roosevelt Colvin in 2003.
So, what about Stephon Gilmore? Gilmore, maybe, right?
Well, yeah, I said the Gilmore.
You just said Gilmore.
Sorry,
so good job, John, listening. So
I whispered Gilmore to John. So it's on me.
So the whole thing with the Patriots is they want depth. Correct? Is that that they're looking for depth so they can survive?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And I think, look, it's sort of a boring way to look at it. It's not the sexiest thing in the world. But when you look at losing Trey Flowers at that sort of money, if you're the Patriots, you say, all right, you know what? I don't know what the Patriots' best offer was. I know it wasn't close to what the Lions offered. And that was from somebody close to Flowers. But let's just say the Patriots' best offer was actually $14 million a year. And I think that's probably even pushing it. But they look at 17 and say, well, if I sign Flowers, then the middle class of my roster is getting hurt at not one, but probably two or three other positions. And then you look at, I'm really reaching here, but you look at the fact they are going to get a third round comp pick next year for Flowers. And that helps stabilize the middle of the roster in future years. And again, I know that some of that stuff may not help you win right now. And it's not going to give you the best Madden team in the world. But that's how they look, and it's why they're consistently successful, and they don't have, like, these great runs for two or three years like a Pete Carroll or a John Harbaugh or a Mike Tomlin, and then fall into, the abyss for, like, two or three years while they restock and they reload. And that's, again, a major, major reason why Bill Belichick has been consistently at the top of the league for 20 years.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Appreciate it. It's just funny. Like, none of it matters. Yeah. I mean, you talk about indispensable guys in the league that are positional players, like on Super Bowl winning teams.
Yeah.
And it is like,
you know what's funny? It's hard to argue that, Fred. But for players that play on the Patriots, it kind of gets under their skin.
Sure.
To think that we don't matter. As long as you got Belichick and Brady.
It's a cog in the machine,
just
man.
Just swap out gears. Just a small cog in the machine.
No,
right?
and they're drafting for depth, and they're signing guys for depth, and that's what their whole strategy is.
They have 12 picks, I think, in this year's draft, and they'll make like five or six deals next year.
No, and they'll take like five like special teams guys.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Here are the headlines.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A member of our staff, when he was young, apparently was almost eaten by Shamu. The whale at
SeaWorld.
SeaWorld. And because there was that story in the whatever from South Africa where the guy was it South Africa where the guy had the guy that was in the whale's mouth.
That's correct. Yep.
So that led, I'll just tell you right now, young sickly Nicholas, it led him into talking about how when he was three.
Harrowing story.
A harrowing story. So Mark Jamelli is going to join us at 8. And I feel bad.
I love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't want to overuse Mark Jamelli, yeah. But when you hear that someone was almost 8 by Shamu, you have to turn to the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in the other room. And the little confab between young sickly Nicholas and his father. But then again, when his father finally understood he was coming on the show, very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited.
You should have seen him when he sat in that very chair. You were on vacation on a Friday, last hour of the show for a Friday. Mark Jamelli just happened to stop by. It was a typical Nick story where he dropped his glasses in the street and a snowplow ran over him and whatever. So he brought the glasses in. He could not have been happier. No. You would have thought this was the highlight of his life. Mm-hmm. He took the T over. He's like, I got my own Charlie card. He was really happy about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then...
Every day's a good day with Mark Jamelli.
Remember when he got all like... wistful, and he was talking about, you know, I don't have a car, so when I was seeing Kelly's roast beef, that was, you know, a reaction, natural mm-hmm. reaction.
Sure.
Ah, Kelly's roast beef, aha! All right, so this sucks for, I guess, them. Do you find it odd, Ted Johnson, that Bill Belichick, when the first day of the tampering period was in Barbados...
There is something kind of that I had to chuckle about that. You know, it was funny to see that he was vacationing in a way when you have such a big important day of the calendar year in the NFL that he's not there. But if you look historically, you mentioned that Stephon Gilmore maybe was the one that they just aren't very active on the first few days of free agency. They like to wait, a few days, let all the crazy money go to other guys, and then they go bargain hunting. So I am just surprised at how public that they are making their trip to Barbados.
Well, the thing is they probably this is Guardian UK. They're probably thinking, who the hell wants to take our pictures?
Oh, I thought there was posts on Instagram. Okay, maybe I thought that they were posting pictures. Linda was doing that.
Linda was posting pictures.
Yeah, I just.
That's what females do. Bill Belichick can't even take a dip in the water. Now, Bill Belichick, people always talk about him on the elliptical and stuff. Those days are gone, I would imagine.
Well, you know, so Bill used, when I was playing for the Patriots, Bill would work out on the elliptical and the stair climber. However, he would do it while reading things.
Okay, so
and I'm always a little skeptical of the people on the elliptical, on the bikes, on the treadmills when they have reading materials in front of them.
How hard
can you really be working?
Yeah, well, but I'll tell you this: is that God bless him, he's a lot, and he's wearing a hat, which is nice because I got so burnt on that dumb Disney cruise I was on last year. I have vitiligo or something on my head where it's all discolored. So, Lord knows.
You learned the hard way, huh?
Well, I don't know. It's like spreading. I might have to do a Sammy Sosa situation or Michael Jackson. Yeah, I got some vitiligo or some crap. And by the way, like, good luck getting into a dermatologist. It was like a 2-month wait to get into the dermatologist. I said, don't you understand? I'm a public figure. This is the money
maker. I'm kind of a big deal here. Don't you know that?
I said, I'll say it again. Fred Tutcher. I'm on Twitch every morning. Come on, this is big stuff. But Bill is not afraid. He just goes, you know what? I'm going to take the shirt off. He's like me.
Hmm.
Perhaps he got a back wax. You got a wax.
No.
You don't wax. I mean, how are you going to show the cuts? How are you going to show the definition?
Freddie, I'm just by nature. I don't have a lot of hair. I'm not a hairy guy. I can't grow a beard. I don't have back hair. I have a very little chest hair.
Do you shave it?
What? Do I shave? No. I don't shave. I've never shaved my chest or my legs or arms or that kind of stuff.
Well, why are you bothering getting vascular if you're not going to give it a shave?
Yeah, but I'm naturally, I don't have a lot of hair, and I'm still, you can still see my veins, can't you?
Yeah, but just on the backside.
Huh?
Just on the backside.
Maybe I need to do that. It's a little douchey. That's a little.
Are you in or are you out?
I mean, look, I don't know. I'm learning a lot from you. Maybe I should. Okay, maybe I'm not all the way in. Like I thought I was.
I think you need to take your shirt off so we can fully inspect.
Wallach giving away his fantasies. John, maybe you should take your shirt off so we can
fully
see.
Inspect. No. Yeah, you gotta see what's going on.
Don't tempt me.
All right,
I'll do it.
All right.
Have you ever seen Belichick naked?
I've never seen Bill naked. He's always showered. He's got his own little locker room area.
Because I contend that if he was naked, he would have a Bon Jovi tattoo somewhere on his body.
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if that is the case.
If you're Belichick, though, don't you go to Barbados assuming that no one's going to take photos of you?
Yeah, but six world championships, the best coach in the history of the NFL. I mean, I think he's kind of become a global, star, no?
Global star?
No. You don't think people
Barbados?
Over in the UK know him?
I don't know about that.
Yeah?
You think the NFL's that popular?
In the
UK?
UK. Football's big in the UK. They love American football over there in the UK, man.
Okay.
Big time. Big time. Lots of fans over there.
Do you think he's a little self-conscious about getting his picture taken with his shirt off and being all over the place?
I don't know if anything in the world, Fred, makes Bill Belichick feel self-conscious. I don't know.
He's like a robot.
Oh, my gosh. He is the king of – if you ever have a conversation with him, what happens is you do all the talking. Like, this is kind of unnerving how just kind of self-assured he is. He's just kind of like – you do all the talking, and then you inevitably say something you didn't want to say.
Yeah, that's like
– he doesn't say anything, so you're like, he's not saying anything. I better say something.
That's a technique that, like, managers use.
It's a good one. It's a good technique.
Well, it takes about, like, a month to get used to it, and then you just got to be comfortable with silence.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Now, people say that he's funny. Did you find that he was funny?
He can be funny, yes. And I think you got to have a little bit of levity to you as a coach. I mean, if you're going to be the hard-o all the time and the disconnected, emotionless guy all the time, it's not good. You got to at least sometimes be funny. And he was. He was. And not a lot. It wasn't like he was a barrel of laughs. I don't want to.
I was under the assumption that he was a barrel.
He was not a barrel of laughs. But I also was told that something changed. After I left in 2005, something changed. It has to do with Linda. That the influence of her. Like he went to the first time I ran into Kevin Falk after I'd retired a few years. I said, Kevin, how's it going? He's good. He goes, you'll never guess. Bill Belichick came to our Halloween party.
Ah!
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Costumes
dressed
and candy.
As a pirate. Yeah, with Linda.
That was the Randy Moss one. Yeah, where Randy Moss is SpongeBob.
And so my feeling is Linda has made him more like the chill Bill. That you see now. He's not so uptight. He's not so, I don't know, guarded, if you will. Not as much. I think it had her influence.
That's the CNN trip to Sconset for the dog. Remember that? Where CNN did like an interview with Linda Holiday. They had a new dog, and they interviewed Bill Belichick on dog ownership.
Yep. Yeah.
He looked like he really wanted to be there. I don't know if he's loosened up quite so much. Happy for them to be there.
Did you see, but something that it struck me, like I found it to be very interesting, was the behavior on the duck boats this year. Did you notice the behavior from one Bill Belichick and Linda?
They did not.
Were
they smooching?
Oh, couldn't get enough of the smooch, PDA. Of the hug. PDA, like I've never seen.
I don't care for that.
Like they were teenage kids.
Ooh, I don't care.
In love for the first time. On the duck boats, yeah.
I don't need to see that.
It was out there for everyone to see. He wasn't holding back. He's like, check us out.
That's unnecessary.
No, that's not something you look at.
I don't care who you are.
No.
Well, it's not good to look at a naked Bill Belichick on the beach in Barbados.
I just think that he's just like, you know what? Here I am. You know, take it or leave
it. Take it or leave it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much Bill, yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what? Enjoy it.
Drink it in.
Drink it in.
Yeah.
Drink it in,
man. He's like, hey, I got boobs.
That's true. I mean, if you look at the way Bill has dressed throughout his career, the way his fashion taste, it's like a big F you to everybody, kind of, right? I've always thought, not just his sideline apparel, but just pre-Linda, the way he would dress, it was kind of this... Yeah, you don't like it? Go screw yourself kind of thing. You don't like these sweaters? I don't care.
Right.
Go screw yourself.
Big Cosby sweater guy.
Big time. Big time. Vrabel used to bust his ass, and he was the only guy that could get away with it about not only the Cosby sweaters, but how tight they were. So the moves were like, you know, penetrating penetrating through the sweater.
As someone with moves myself, I got it. You got to protect against that. All right. Well, listen, Mark Jamali is going to join us because yesterday we learned that young Nicholas at 3 years old almost lost his life like he did not too long ago. And it was at the hands of Shamu over there at SeaWorld. We will talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.